Good morning to everyone. I have greeted an old friend this morning, Mr. Vertigo. So I'm having a little trouble with my balance. It's not real bad, but if you see me holding on to things, that's because it's a little bit hard to stay upright when you have that issue. I'm not sure exactly why that happened all of a sudden, but I have had a history of it, but not recently. I just said that not for pity's sake, but just if you see me kind of wobble a little bit, you'll know what's happening. Good to see Miss Grace again this morning and everyone here. Continue to pray for Pastor. I think his next doctor's appointment's on the 23rd, and then he has another one on the 27th. So continue to pray that God will work his will in his life and all the ministry here. It's been a privilege for us to serve and to get to know each and every one of you. This morning I would like to use some passages of scripture to remind us of some conversations. The title of the sermon is a world's most number one important question, actually. Let's look in Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read quite a few verses here, and then some out of chapter 28. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 1. I want to read this to get the context of a part of our story and ask God to bless our hearts as we consider a few thoughts. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to that yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood." And they conferred together, and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. And at that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who's called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who's called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplished nothing, but rather than a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. And all the people said, His blood shall be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, they handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. Skip over to chapter 28, please. Verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. There are many different kinds of questions and many different questions in life that we might have to answer. Children ask a lot of questions, right? Why is the world round, Dad? And you're traveling. They keep saying, Are we there yet? A young person has a question about life. People have a lot of questions about death. But the most important question is, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Why do we have such a question? In the text, the Jewish leaders wanted the Roman soldiers to capture and punish Jesus. The Roman soldiers kept Jesus from sleeping all night long. They hit Jesus and spit on him. The soldiers made a crown of thorns and placed it on Jesus' head. Then they shamed Jesus and cursed him. The next day in the morning, they stood Jesus before the Roman leader. We have a friend in the up here working on some kind of nest. Let's try our best to ignore him. John 18:38, Pilate said about Jesus that he could find no fault in Jesus, nothing wrong with Jesus. Pilate's wife gave advice to her husband about Jesus that we just read in Matthew 27:19. Have nothing to do with this just man, Jesus, for she had suffered many things in her dream because of Jesus this day. Pilate did not want to think about whether his behavior was wrong or right about Jesus. All Pilate wanted to do was to make the Jewish leaders happy and satisfy the people. The crowd of people with a loud voice cried, Nail him to the cross, they screamed. Pilate knew Jesus had done nothing wrong, but all he worried about was satisfying the crowd. However, Pilate tried another way to let Jesus go free. We read that in Matthew 27:15. So Pilate, for the festival, decided to let one certain person go free of their choice. And he said, Here's Barabbas. Do you want to charge him? Or instead, here is the one they call the Christ. For you, which man should I let go free? And then everyone cried, with a loud voice, Not this man, Jesus. It is Barabbas. It is Barabbas. Barabbas should be set free and pardoned. And so all of them, even with a stronger voice cried out. This is when Pilate said to the crowd of Jewish people, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And when Pilate asked again, they had said with even a stronger voice, "Nail him to the cross. Nail him to the cross." Then Pilate gave Jesus to the soldiers so that they could nail Jesus to the cross. Pilate's question until this day is a very, very important question. Everyone born into this world must answer that question before God when they die. God will ask everyone that question. What have you done with my son who I gave to you? What do you plan concerning the Lord Jesus? Every one of us must answer this question personally. Let's pretend that I'm asking two people in the Bible personally about this question for an example. Let's ask Judas in the Bible this question after we pretend we're talking to him. "Well, Judas, tell us a little something about yourself." He might say, "Well, I actually live in a place called Judea. It was there that I actually heard from a message by John the Baptist about Jesus, who was coming and that we should watch for him. And then later I actually did hear Jesus himself," Judas continues. "It was soon after I left everything else behind, my old life, and decided I would follow after Jesus. For 3 years, everywhere Jesus went, I went also." By the way, Judas was so close to the truth of Jesus, but it's so sad that his heart did not change even one little bit, no matter how close he walked around with Jesus. A person cannot change his life by his own will. It is not enough to just say a person is going to try to change his own life by his own power and follow a particular person around. For a person's life to truly change, there must be a real supernatural work deep down in the soul and heart of such a person. We all must be born again and saved by the Holy Spirit of God. This is how the Bible expresses it. Judas answered this important question incorrectly because he failed in his heart to answer about Jesus correctly. He lost everything important. Judas brought the enemy of Jesus to Jesus and betrayed him for 7 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Because of Judas's betrayal, the soldiers captured Jesus and held him captive until Jesus was going to be hung on the cross to die. But even later, Judas went back because he tried to change and give back the money, but it was too late. Then Judas fled to a garden and committed suicide. So according to the Bible, Judas made the wrong decision about Christ. So many people are so controlled about the things of this life, they don't take the time to prepare for death. The Bible tells us when we die, we will go to either heaven or hell. We all consent to that. We all may even understand that. But we must make a decision with that. Even if you have in your hand wealth and possessions, and you lose your own soul, the Bible says you will go to hell, and it will be your loss. Okay, now let's ask another person this question, shall we? If he were here, let's talk to Pilate. "Hello, Pilate, tell us about yourself and dealing with Jesus." If we ask Pilate, maybe he'll tell us something like this. "I'm a Roman government leader. Some time ago, the supreme leader Caesar made me responsible for the Jews. I have a great job with a great salary, and my family lives in a splendid palace. My biggest challenge for my work is how to keep the Jewish people under control. Ever since we came and took over their land of Rome, Rome has made them pay a high tax for protection, and the Jews are controlled by us. So sometimes the Jews give us a lot of trouble. Pilate continues by saying, I heard that this man Jesus has done some amazing things among the people. That's what I hear. But many of the Jews want me to take Jesus and nail him to the cross. They're always demanding and insisting this. But here we need to ask Pilate and remind Pilate that he has a very important, specific decision to make. Pilate, what do you plan to do with this man called Jesus the Christ? Pilate, you know definitely that Jesus has done nothing, absolutely nothing wrong, don't you? You said that to the people several times. But Pilate can only think of one thing: pleasing the Jewish leaders. So he thinks he won't have any problems with them. He wants to please them. So here, Pilate betrayed Jesus and commanded that Jesus be taken away to shed his blood by nailing him to the cross. All Pilate could think about was what was happening now. So Pilate had no thoughts about the future results of his own decision and what it would bring. Unfortunately, many people today are just like Pilate. Many are only thinking of what they can get to the day, or living for the day, and many people never prepare for the future, so they reject Jesus the Christ. So here, we as human beings, while we're living, must remember that after this short life is eternity. And we must ask ourselves that most important question. We remember that each and every one of us, one day, will stand before the Almighty God and give an answer to God concerning the most important question: what we have done or what we have not done with Jesus. What many people are remembering is that without Jesus, we're all separated from God, and we're on our way to hell if we do not know him. If anyone rejects Jesus, it's the same as accepting the road to hell. So in Pilate's case too, we saw that Pilate made the wrong decision about Jesus. So we see that as a result of his wrong decision, Pilate has chosen the consequences of his own choice. The Jewish people cried out concerning Jesus, let his blood be on us and our children. It does not matter. Nail him to the cross. They said, we will take the responsibility. So here we realize the results of all the problems that God's people, the Jews, have been having for all these years. The Jewish people from this time continues to be persecuted all over the world as a group in many places. All of us know of the terrible killing of the Jews from time to time. This was true especially in Germany many years ago. Yet some people, as strangely as it seems, continue to deny it. Also remember to be skeptical at decisions that crowds of people make. When crowds of people make decisions in the emotion of the moment, almost always it's the wrong decision. Don't make the same mistakes such as this crowd of people did with Jesus. We must all make the important decision of our life personally and privately before God. Don't listen to others who will try to draw you away from God. People may ask the question, how can I be saved? And we can look at God's word. There are many different ways to consider, but they all lead to the fact that we must confess our sins, First, believe that we are a sinner, confess our sins, and ask God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse our hearts. We must decide. A person will never regret taking Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So we could go on with this matter of questioning. In fact, the Holy Spirit in his own way works in the hearts of men. And when he chooses to draw someone to him, he will ask that very same question, maybe deep down inside their heart, what have you done or what will you do with Jesus? I know sometimes as we attempt to witness, people may not accept our witness, but it's always good to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time when we were in British Columbia, we gave out a lot of tracts there, English speaking, of course. And I was a little bit surprised at one lady's reaction. She was working in a Walmart, and I just handed her a tract. And when she looked at the tract, she almost, you could see anger in her face. Like, you insult me by giving me this? And I said, I was just asking you to read it. And I wondered what she really did afterward. And we all wonder that when we try to be a witness for Christ. When we ask people to read a tract, or when we invite them to church, or when we try to do something kind to them, and then we try to tell them, invite them to church after that in different ways. But, you know, what's going on in people's hearts, even though we can be an instrument to point them to the Savior, unfortunately, if they don't make that decision as God is dealing with their heart along the way, there'll be that final time when they'll stand before God and hear that question. I know we're motivated by the fact that we know that's going to come. And even though we are saved, we want to tell our loved ones and friends about the Lord so that when they get to eternity, they would have already made that important decision and answered the question about the Lord Jesus. Maybe you have a lot of different questions in your life that you want to ask the Lord. But the most important thing that he's asking us is, what have we done and what will we do with Jesus? Judas answered it wrong. Pilate answered it incorrectly. There have been other people in history that have known to have refused the Lord Jesus Christ. But what matters in our lives is whether we have answered it correctly or not. So I'm thankful, and I know by your testimonies that everyone here has made a testimony of Christ and made the correct decision for Christ because of your testimony that you've given. But let us be encouraged to tell others about the Lord as we go along, as we meet people in as we go about our work, as we go about to school, as we go about shopping in different places, that we be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone will answer that question before God. It was a simple message, but it was what the Lord laid on my heart for this morning. Let's bow our heads as we pray, and then we'll have Marco come and lead us in the song. Father, thank you for the word of God and the testimony that you've preserved about people's responses to the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us a warning and to cause us to take heed about making the right decision for eternity. Thank you, Lord, that just in a short time that I know that all of these people that are here this morning that are here represented have given a clear testimony of accepting you as personal Savior. We pray for our friends and loved ones who have not. We ask you to help us to maintain a good witness in front of them, and that you will send a witness to their heart that they too may trust Christ as personal Lord and Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.